Sure thing is our title today. Isaiah 55, 10 to 13 is our text. We've had a few messages here from the Psalms this summer. We're going to Isaiah now, and we'll have a few there. One thing I wanted to mention about the lectionary and the different texts that and the way that they're organized. There are different the seasons during the church year where things are organized around a theme, like Advent, Christmas, Easter season, Lent, and then other times of the year where we simply go through some of the books of the Bible. And the main one is one of the Gospels. So, like right now, we're in Matthew, and often during this time of the year, the epistle text it goes through a book, and so it goes in sequence there. Usually, the Old Testament text is chosen to match whatever the theme is of the gospel text. And so that's how these are often chosen that way. What that means is that we're looking at Isaiah 55 today, and in a few weeks we're looking at verses 10 to 13. In a few weeks we'll be looking at verses 1 through 5 of the same chapter of Isaiah, because those parts of this chapter line up in a theme with the particular parable that Jesus has for that reading for that day from Matthew. As we look at leading up to our text today in Isaiah 55, you know, this is the setting for Isaiah is 700 years or so before Jesus was born. And within this time period, the northern tribes of Israel were conquered and taken into exile. And there was a warning given to Judah, the southern kingdom where the descendants of David ruled on the throne. You too will have the same fate if you don't worship God, turn back to God, repent of your ways. And then Isaiah, in his book, looks forward to a time where the same thing is going to happen to Judah. But after that, God will bring them back and restore them. And all of this is a picture that is really a bigger picture of the history of our world, where humans rebel against God, and we, in essence, are in exile. We're kicked out of the Garden of Eden. We're in exile. But God will bring us back, and He does bring us back. And in the end, He will do that eternally with eternal life. And so all of this is wrapped up in what Isaiah is talking about. And as we lead up to this chapter here, there are details that Isaiah gives of Israel's guilt, the nation's guilt against God. But then it's followed by promises of what God will do, promises to restore people to Himself. And it's followed then by who will accomplish that. So we see messages of God's servant who will accomplish, and we know now, we understand that this is referring to Jesus, who will accomplish all of that, and then what that results in for God's people, both here in this world, but also for eternity. And as these things are going along through Isaiah, there's an invitation to receive what is offered by God, to seek the Lord, to receive from Him. For His ways, in the preceding verses, a verse kind of familiar maybe to some of us, His ways are not our ways. He does things differently than we think. His thoughts are not ours. They're so much greater than ours. And so we seek to understand, to seek to know, to be with Him. He does things differently than we do, but He does them for us. And so those thoughts lead into our text today. Isaiah 55, 10 through 13. I'll invite you to stand as you are able as I read that this morning. Isaiah 55, 10 through 13. Reading in Jesus' name. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. Father, thank you for this word to us this morning as we consider these words and and the way that your word works in our world and in our lives. I ask that you would work in us today. Produce a crop today in us. Produce fruit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and I want to invite any of the kids that want to come up to the front. All right. Come on up. A few more coming up. All right. Okay. Hey, guys, have you guys ever planted a seed in something? I know some of you, some of you did as part of Momco this last year. Have you ever planted a seed in the ground? Maybe you did it in a little cup and you needed to move it somewhere else. Maybe you planted outside in the ground. Sometimes you might find seeds in strange places and they might actually be growing there. You know, this last week I was up on my roof cleaning out the rain gutters. You know where those are? Do you guys know where the rain gutters are on the roof? If you look up at the edge of the roof, you might have some there, and the water runs through them and down, off down to the ground, so it doesn't just run off the edge of the roof there. Well, I was up there cleaning, and especially right at the garage, right above the garage door, because of the garage door and everything, it kind of has a little bit of a dip there, so more dirt can accumulate right there. I had to clean that out. And you know what I found in the rain gutter? Do you have a guess? Do you have a guess of what I might have found there? Do you guys have a guess? What do you think? What's that? I did. I found a plant. Yeah, a seed had fallen there. You know what kind of plant I found?
What?
A tree. Actually, more than one of them. I could tell. Now, they weren't really big trees. They were little itty-bitty, but they were growing up. But I could tell by the leaves, if that thing kept growing, it was trying to be a tree. It was going to be a tree. Now, do you think a tree could really survive for very long in the rain gutter? No, probably not, because it doesn't have anywhere for the roots to go. But it probably could do some damage to the rain gutter if it kept on growing there. Well, we find seeds in lots of different places. And you know what? If a seed that's a good seed lands in a place that is really good for it to grow, it's going to grow. That's the way God made it. If it has a good place and it has moisture that it needs, if it has sunlight, that thing's going to start growing. And we're thinking today about a seed like that. Jesus told a parable about planting seeds. And also we heard about God's word going out like a seed being planted. So I want to, you guys can be thinking about that, and your picture here today is kind of a field with some trees and some different things growing up around there. So would you hand some of those out for me? You could hand a few out here. Okay. Would you want to hand a few out? Oh, here. She's going to hand those ones out. Okay, here you go. You can hand those out. All right. Thanks for coming up, guys. You can go back to your seats. You can know they'll take those back. I'm sure some of the grown-ups want some, so go find somebody that wants one. Everybody likes the color sometime, right? As we look at the world around us, we see a lot of things going on in the world around us. We find war. We find war happening. Let's just go there. Right to that. We see war happening in this world. We see disagreements between people. I don't know if anybody, we were behind it, but yesterday there was an incident of road rage on I-35E. We happened to avoid the spot where it had happened, but somebody actually was trying to hurt somebody else on the highway there. There is sickness in this world. There's death. There's despair that people come to. There's hunger. There's people being in need and no way to fulfill those needs. We see all of these different things happening in the world. And often we might ask the question, what is the solution to all of this? What is the solution to this? And we might come up with ideas. Hey, if we could just do this, that would solve this problem. If we could just do that, that could solve that problem over there. And maybe we have some ideas and we say, hey, if we could do these things, that'll do it. So we have the solution. But then we realize, all right, we need to convince others of these solutions. Maybe sometimes we think even that some painful things will fix problems, and they might. We might have the idea that, you know what, if there's bad people doing bad things, then maybe war is what's necessary. If we get rid of the bad guys, things won't be bad anymore. But you know, whenever something like that happens, we find out there are always more bad guys. And sometimes maybe the people that we thought were good turn out not to be all that good or as good as we thought they were. We find sickness in the world and hunger, and we might think of programs that could help fix this. We might prefer governments, programs run by the government. We might prefer programs that maybe are done by churches or other groups. We may think that it's individuals being kind to one another and getting to know their neighbors and helping them out. All of these might be good things, and we might have these ideas. We might think that it's a matter of teaching people what they need to know in life, to manage their own life well. The problem is that programs break down. People don't manage their lives. They make bad choices. We might think that we can teach good habits and that will fix the problems, but people don't learn them. And besides all of that, we must acknowledge that even if we're the ones that think we have the solution, we are also each one of us messed up and contributing to the problem. Why do we think that we have the solution? Somebody else doesn't have the solution that is a solution for us, to fix us, right? We might be the problem. If we hear politicians talking, each side often will be pointing out what's wrong with the other side, and often they sound like each other. I remember listening one time to a talk radio commentator accusing somebody else, another commentator, of being a know-it-all loudmouth. And this guy that I was listening to sounded a lot like a know-it-all loudmouth, too. You know, basically the same behaviors. Opposite beliefs, but same behaviors. But God's ways are different. God's ways are different. He has provided a way. He has worked in this world to make things right. He does promise a better tomorrow, a better future. And contrasted with our solutions to fix problems, God has a solution that will work, and He has the ability to make it happen. And so, in order to emphasize the way that God's word does work, and that He can do that, Isaiah gives us a comparison to help us see this. The first part of this is all setting up the comparison here. He has a long sentence here doing that. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven, we can imagine that, we know, snowing, raining, and do not return to it without watering the earth, we can imagine that, waters the earth, and making it bud and flourish, we can, especially if we've observed and taken any time to watch a garden, if we've had that, we notice these things, right? When it rains, we know things will grow. That's what happens. If it's dry without rain, we're expecting that the things are going to start withering. They need the rain. So we see the effects of it. So that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So just as these things happen, rain does that, these things produce. And before we get to the comparison here, that let's just pause for a moment here and just say, Isaiah is telling us here with God's words, look at what happens around you. You see the rainfall, you see the snow in winter, you see them water the earth, you know that they produce an effect. Sometimes it's a rather quick effect that you can notice. Sometimes we find water sitting on materials and mold is produced very quickly, you know, a day or two, and you're like, wow, how did that start growing there? Well, it was sitting there. Now, maybe on the better side of things, regular water produces plant growth. And a lot of these plants we enjoy. And we can even, in some circumstances, see it happening day by day. We can see that change in plant growth in a garden, for example. In the same way, then, so is my word that goes out from my mouth, God says. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Our solutions to problems in the world often leave us wanting. They don't really accomplish much, but even where they do accomplish things, new problems arise. That's what happens in a fallen, rebellious world. But God has promised renewal, rebirth for those who believe and trust in Him, and eternal life after death. We, standing on this side of where Christ came to earth and died and rose again, we see part of the fulfillment of what Isaiah is talking about here, what God is talking about through Isaiah, that his word has accomplished forgiveness of sins and resurrection from the dead. All of this comes to us through believing and trusting. That's what his word accomplishes in us. And it does it. It accomplishes this when it goes out. When his word is spread, when it's heard by us, when it's heard by others, it produces an effect. The result of this word, then, is described in very vivid language here, also using nature pictures again. You will go out in joy. The effects of God's word in our lives make us joyful. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you. Kind of a vivid picture of a response of nature praising God for what he does. And all the trees of the fields will clap their hands. It's kind of fun to imagine that. It's kind of funny sometimes, maybe, trees clapping their hands. But they're joyful. Creation is joyful. It's a picture of joy at what God produces in us. Now, we do see this first in this life to a certain degree. Not perfectly yet, not completely yet, but when God works in our lives, when we receive his forgiveness, when the weight is lifted, when despair goes away, we go out in joy. We can rejoice. Some of it is at what we see happening in our lives here. Some of it, when we go through difficult times, is realizing what God has in store for us. And we can look ahead to that. And when we see it in others, when we see their weight being lifted off of them, their despair leaving, their soul being healed, we go out in joy. And we get another contrast here. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. In our yard, there are some very annoying thorns. I do not know exactly what type they are, but they pop up here and there. And here's the thing that's so annoying to me about these. They're not like thistles that, you know, you can kind of avoid them. They might hurt a little bit, but they've got these long thorns on them. They look a little bit like that, but they spread out on the ground. And they're sharp thorns. And if you get pricked on that, that's going to hurt. And here's the thing. They're just isolated around our yard. And I have looked at them. I have never seen a flower on them. They're not by other things. And I keep wondering. They're scattered all over our yard, maybe a dozen or so of them, maybe more. And I have no idea how they get to these different places. It's very, very annoying because I don't know how to get rid of them either. I keep going. We got a weed puller thing. And every time I find one, I go take it out. That one I'm getting out. I don't necessarily care about all the other ones necessarily, but those ones I want out of there. They keep on. I keep finding new ones in new places. I don't get it. That's kind of the way some of these things are in life, aren't they? We think, hey, we can get rid of these things, and then they pop up. The problems pop up other places. How are these things happening like that? But imagine the change if all of a sudden all of these things were something nice that I enjoyed having in the yard. Maybe it was a tomato plant growing up. Oh, I get to pick some tomatoes. Or maybe something else that I enjoyed. Maybe it was a flower that was really nice growing up there. Well, I might not want it in the middle of the yard, but I'd prefer that to this thorn, right? I like that idea of these things all of a sudden changing into something I really want there. An end to all the problems. Everything hurtful going away. Well, one day we will experience that. That's for the future. Though, in some ways, we can already feel some of that effect, even now. The pain and hurt between people doesn't have to be there. It doesn't. God can remove it. He can turn it into beauty. And in the end, it will all be like that. So we might ask then, hearing this description of what happens when God's word goes out, we might ask, why are all problems not fixed then? If God says his word produces when it goes out, Jesus has done what he came for. New life is won. Our sins are paid for. Resurrection from the dead is one for us. The word about that is going out. It's spreading out into all the world. But the problems remain. We still have natural disasters, which we might not expect to stop simply because, you know, people are hearing God's word and believing it. We still live in a fallen world. But what about wars and enemies and disagreements between people? Why are they still all, maybe not even as big, but bigger than they have been? Shouldn't those be ending as people hear the good news of Jesus? But even often people who claim to be Christian can sometimes be the worst of all. We've seen times in history where that has been the case. Does that mean then that God's word does not produce as he says that it does? Well, we've already noted that some of this really is for the future. But Jesus' parable that we heard today is also helps us to understand. The word produces, God's word produces, but not all soil is good. The word goes out and it lands everywhere. And everywhere it lands, something happens, but sometimes it's taken away. As we hear, those who don't understand it, the devil snatches it away. Some grows, but has no root. I'm imagining those trees that were trying to grow in our rain gutter. You know, eventually something would have happened there differently because they couldn't keep growing in that spot. Some gets cut out by thorns, other things that are growing up in this world. Cares of the world, Jesus talks about, take the space, take the nutrients that the good seed needs. But amidst all of that, there is always some good soil. And the soil that is good produces a wonderful crop. As we think about ourselves, as we think about those we know, we pray that God would work the soil in us so that it would be good soil, so that it would produce a good crop, a good result, that his word would give a good return in our lives and in the lives of those that we know because of where it is planted in good soil in us. We ask him for that. And as he works in us, as we continue to sow the seed in other places so that those places might also produce, we pray that that would be accomplished in us. As we study the small catechism in confirmation, we find the petition in the Lord's Prayer that says, "Your will be done." And we ask the question, what does this mean? What does it mean that your will be done as we pray that to God? Well, we find our answer to that question is the good and gracious will of God is done without our prayer. The word does not return empty. It's done without our prayer. But we pray that it would also be done among us. In essence, we're saying we want God to produce, to make good soil within us. So that his, as we pray that prayer, "Your will be done," we're asking him to do that in us and in those around us, so that his word would produce good in us. That is our prayer as we hear God's word. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your good word to us. We thank you that it does not return empty, but it does produce where it finds good soil. We thank you that it produces by the work of Jesus that no one could stop as he died and rose again for us. We thank you that no one can prevent it working where you would work that, in whose lives you would work. And so we pray that would be true in us, that would be true in the people that we know, that you would make good soil so that the seed would grow, the seed of your word would grow in us and produce a wonderful crop, so that when eternity comes, we can be enjoying that together with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.